You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head on over to Sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's Sleeper.com/SGP. And of course, make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
Hi, ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 161. It's going out to Don Mattingly. I am one of your hosts of this podcast. I'm not Don Mattingly. You know, I wouldn't mind being Don Mattingly, probably. I am Jeff Tarzan Fox. Thank you for coming to the show. It's another action-packed episode as people are cutting bushes outside. Let me close the window here. All right, another action-packed episode, of course, of the podcast, because we have a action-packed pay-per-view, hopefully action-packed pay-per-view coming up this weekend. UFC 276 going down from Sin City, Las Vegas, technically Paradise, Nevada, I believe is where this is going down. Yes, the T-Mobile Arena. 12-fight lineup, not a dud fight on the card, I would say. And I'm pretty sure my co-host, who I'm about to introduce, will agree with that because he's always a hype man for Dana White's UFC. He's always high on fight cards. So let's see if he's high on this one as well. He got his moniker back, the Gumby God, the one and only Daniel Freeland. Hello.
Hey, you're right. This is a baller
hype it
fight
up.
Card. It's such a good fight card. Well, here's the thing I really love about it is that no matter what your taste is for like an MMA or UFC fight card, it's got it, right? Like it's got the, legends of the sport who might be the greatest their division has ever seen, or at least making a run at it. It's got former champions that you get to watch for like nostalgia purposes. It's got those kinds of fights on there, or, you know, like just legends in general with like Cerrone and Miller and Lawler and, you know, Barbarena to an extent. And then it's got like dudes who could be champs one day, like hot up and comers, like, you know, Andre Muniz and Jalen Turner. Then it's got like kind of prospecty people you've maybe not heard of, like Dragos Duplessis and Gabe Green and Ian Garry. And then, you know, the stalwarts of the division are there too. If you're one of those people who likes Brad Tavares a ton or Jessica Ai, like it's got them all, dude. It's perfect.
What if you are into people named the Future? Does this card have anything for you?
Yeah, Ian the Future Garry is fighting Gabe Green on this fight card.
Is that it?
That's the only one I care to mention at the moment.
Okay. There's two people named the Future on this fight card. People,
did you know Ian Garry was the Future, or did I just
I
like?
Know that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I just snuck that one in on.
Nope. I just finished writing and publishing. I knew it already before this, but I just published my article for all my picks for this fight. So if you want to read. You can read along as we talk about it if you like. It's on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. But yes, I knew that Ian Garry was the Future. But yeah, this is a there's no fight on this card that is worth skipping, I don't think.
No, I mean like the woman's fight to kick it off, like neither has been particularly hot, but I would also say this, like neither's boring. Like nobody's gonna say, and for those who aren't looking at the fight card right now, I'm talking about Jessica Rose Clark versus Julia Stolyarenko. Like neither of those two are boring. The Stolyarenko's right. fight with Lisa Verdosa or however you say her name in Invicta was one of the best women's fights of all time. And Jessica Rose Clark is like fun mix of kickboxing, wrestling. Up at 35, she hasn't looked great, but like she's still fun to watch.
Very, very true. Yeah. So Interesting fight night. So as per usual, in case you're new around here, we will be splitting this into two episodes to give us plenty of time to talk about all the fights and put in our normal amount of nonsense. Though I feel like we're less silly as we were, Dan. Maybe we have more actual material now to work with. But
I think I was anti-silly last time.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I think I should listen to the last episode, not like, you know, like listen to it, because nobody likes listening to themselves talk. But I was like, while I was editing it, I was like, I was angry for some reason. Yeah,
that's why I called it No Patience. The episode was called No Patience.
And I had a good night. Like I kicked TFL's ass. Like and there I was. So this is gonna be a good vibes episode.
The episode in question is our PFL or Dan's PFL picks for this coming Friday's PFL 6. Go back one episode from here, 160 is that episode. Named No Patience because Dan has no patience for nonsense in that episode. And all those fights are actually, except for one of them have fallen through, so PFL hasn't totally screwed us over this time. So
yeah, it was the one that I said I was not willing to give you a breakdown of too, because Gleason Tebow
even refused to do a breakdown. You were grumpy.
Yeah, Gleason Tebow is like impossible to break down.
Yes.
Because he's just so variable, and he's so variable this time that he's chosen not to show up to fight week.
Perfect. But we're not talking. This isn't a PFL podcast.
Isn't a Gleason Tebow podcast.
Imagine that. If we had a spinoff podcast about Gleason Tebow, the topics we could get into. But alas, we have not been offered to do that. So we're going to stick with what we're doing now. UFC 276 prelims. We're going to give you 7 prelim fights this episode, and then episode 162, which will be dropping your ear holes on Thursday, will be our main card picks, our props, parlays, recommended plays, all that fancy stuff. So let's jump into it. After I tell you about Win, make sure to get down on the Wins. Bet $50, win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, they have the ultimate fantasy football experience. Bet $500 or more on sports or casino before July 31st of this year and get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club. Include your 2-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBet app or visit WynnBet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, let's jump into this here card. Early prelims are on ESPN. Wow. ESPN and ESPN Plus.
And I'm pretty sure in the States too, they're on, if I'm not mistaken, ABC as well. They're being simulcast on the major network so that everybody gets to see.
Yeah, the main prelims is right. Early prelims are on ESPN. ESPN Plus. Yeah, and they are looking at 6:30, I believe. Let me just make sure. Or it might be 6 o'clock at this point. 6 o'clock Eastern, and then as Dan mentioned, the main card prelims. The main prelims are ESPN, ABC, and ESPN Plus. 8 p.m. Eastern. We will start with the early prelims as per usual. We will start with the curtain jerker. The match Dan already spoke of: women's bantamweights. Jessica Rose Clark versus Julia Stolyarenko. So we got Jesse Jess versus No Nickname. Stolyarenko, 9-6-2 with 8 submissions to her name. Been knocked out twice, submitted once. She's 0-4 in the UFC over 2 stints. She was 1-0 in Invicta. That was a championship fight, and she won the bantamweight championship for Invicta. She also was the CG champ. I'm not sure what that stands for. Probably cage something, right?
Probably cage gladiators.
That's what I was thinking. She used to fight up at featherweight. She's a Lethwei champion as well. Can you tell everyone what Lethwei is, Dan?
Yeah, it's a Chinese form of it's like no gloved MMA that also is less holds barred. So like you can headbutt and stuff like that.
Headbutts, exactly. Yes. 2012 was her pro MMA debut. She's got 2 inches height and 2 inches reach on Clark. 6 years younger than her, negative striking differential in the UFC. So basically, it's minus 1.52, meaning she gets outstruck by 1.5 strikes per minute over her UFC career. Not something you want to happen. Plus 125 coming back on her. As for Jessie Jess Clark, 11-7 with 1 no contest, been knocked out. 3 knockouts on her in her favor and two submissions. Been submitted once. It's the only time she's been stopped in a fight, and that was her last fight where she got submitted. She's 4-3 in the UFC. She's won two of her last three, however, only two of her last five, and her last fight was a sub loss, as I said. Used to fight down at flyweight, was 0-2 in Invicta. She's had some trouble making weight at both these weight, flyweight and bantamweight, I believe. She's missed weight twice. Multiple regional championships on her
mantle.
Correct. 2012 also for her pro MMA debut. Striking stats in her favor, plus she's 1.5 times more active landing strikes than Stolyarenko. She has a positive strike differential of 0.39. She also has grappling stats in her favor, and she's at minus 150. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Jessica Rose Clark. I've gone back and forth on this one a little bit, but here's the thing is that, like, the loss for Jessica Rose Clark against Stephanie Egger has aged pretty well. Egger went out there and looked really good in her last fight. Jessica Rose Clark was her last fight. Am I wrong? Yes.
She did fight her.
Jessica Rose Clark was her last fight, but she looked good against Shanna Young before that too. So it's been two in a row for Egger. She's looked good. I'll say this. I think Jessica Rose Clark does well enough in the clinch to not get taken down against somebody like Stolyarenko, because Stolyarenko is not the type who's going to, like, shoot a double leg. She needs to, like, get you against the cage and, like, slowly work a takedown. I think the way that, like, Clark is kind of, like, bulked up and she seems to have worked on those things, I think she'll be fine in the takedowns. And I think she's just, like, a much better striker than Stolyarenko is.
Yep. The stats play prove that as well. So, yes, Jesse Jess is my pick as well. I was thinking Stolyarenko was good, and then I think I was just remembering her being an Invicta champ. She has not been good on the UFC level as of yet. So hopefully Saturday is not the time that she decides that she's going to be good again. So, all right, women's again. Women's flyweight, we're moved to now. Jessica I versus Macy Barber, a favorite of this podcast. So we got Jessica Evil Eye versus the future Barber. We'll tell you about I first, 15-10 with one no contest. She's got three knockouts and one submission in her favor. She's been knocked out once, submitted once, 5-9 in the UFC with one no contest. She's lost three straight. She's won one fight in her last five. Last win was December of 2019. She used to fight up at bantamweight. She went 3-0 in Bellator. She's been around in pro MMA since 2010. She's an inch taller and has an inch of reach on Barber. Negative strike differential of minus 0.23, plus 195 coming back in her. The future hairstylist, Macy, 10-2, five knockouts, two submissions, never been finished in a fight. She's 5-2 in the UFC. She's won two straight, and she's also won two of her last four. Used to fight down at strawweight. So we got a former strawweight versus a former bantamweight. Won it on the Contender Series, 12 years younger than I. Striking and active striking stats in her favor. She's got a positive strike differential of plus 1.76, minus 240. I will be taking Barbara here. Just 12 years is a massive age gap. Plus, I think she's going to make this a grimy fight, and she can probably get in close with I, and hopefully she doesn't decide not to try to have a range. Striking fight, because that's not her game. She's got to get in the clinch and get gritty and take her down and whatnot. So I think Barbara could do that against I, who's, I think, it's pretty much done for at this point. So I will take the younger, better striking fighter any day of the week. So I will take Macy Barber, and I'm sure that warms Dan's heart.
So first of all, I'm never going to pick Macy Barber, so I am going to go with the underdog just got higher. But second of all, I'm gonna question a little bit of your analysis here. Do you think that Macy Barber wouldn't outbox Jessica I? Because, like, I kind of think if this stays at range, I actually think that's her best path to victory here.
Yeah, maybe.
Because Jessica's notoriously, like, tough in the clinch and to take down, and, like, when she turns things into wrestling matches. Because, like, she did that. Like, if you go back to her fight with Miesha Tate, which I know now, I'm not looking at her record, but, like, it's probably 700 years ago. Like, she was dominating Miesha Tate in that way, right? She like, went after Miesha Tate and attacked Miesha Tate and stayed in the clinch with Miesha Tate and won that fight. So I don't know that Barber wins in the clinch with her. I do think she get out pointer, but my worry is that it winds up being a clinch fight, and that's why Jess Guy wins this fight. So that's, again, you know, being a little bit tongue in cheek here by saying I'd never pick Macy Barber, but I actually think that like a clinch battle and in like a gritty fight maybe favors Jessica Eye here.
No, very good point. So Jess Barber's not athletic. She's also not a very good striker.
Yeah, she's
good at swinging at the air, but yeah, but no, I'm going to pick her in this fight for sure. So we should see. I'm minus 240, probably not going to be one of my recommended plays. Spoiler alert there. But Dan is going with his heart, not his head here in his picks. Just so you know, everyone.
If she wins, it's going to be not only a big dog, but it's going to feel so good, too.
I sure will. All right. See if we're back on track here. The main event of the early prelims. Middleweights, Uriah Hall versus Andre Muniz. We got primetime Hall versus Sergipano Muniz. We'll tell you about Hall. First, 17-10. 13 knockouts, one submission. He's knocked out four times. 10-8 in the UFC. He's won four of his last five. However, he did lose his last fight. He went 4-0 in the Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight up at light heavyweight. He was the ROC champion before this. Also was 1-0 in Bellator. Been fighting professionally in MMA since 2005. He's got an inch of reach on Muniz. 1.6 times more active landing strikes. However, he has a negative strike differential of 0.6. So he gets outstruck by over half a strike per minute over his UFC career, plus 220 on him. Muniz, 22-4, four knockouts, 15 submissions. He's been knocked out four times. All of his losses have come via knockout. He's won four straight fights, the last three via submission. He went 2-0 in the Contender Series. He also used to fight at light heavyweight. He also was a regional champion. 2009, he's been in pro MMA since. He's an inch taller than Hall, 6 years younger. He's got a positive strike differential of 0.36. Grappling stats are also in his favor, minus 275. Go ahead.
And Muniz all day. Man, like this is not, this is not a hard one. Andre Muniz has looked like an absolute murderer on the ground. And if there's one place where Uriah Hall looks like a fish out of water, it's on the ground. You know, like you look back to that other fight, the one he had with Sean Strickland. I mean, he was getting outstruck in that one too, but like there are lots of examples of him, you know, maybe just not looking himself when it hits the mat. The Antonio Carlos Jr. fight sticks out. I mean, he got back up a bunch of times in that, but like, you know, I just don't think he's the type of guy who can go to the ground with Muniz and survive. And I think it's going to go to the ground. So I think he's going to get crushed here, man. I think this is, and don't get me wrong, I've been staying away from props on my recommended plays, but you may see me dabble into a Andre Muniz submission prop here because he's going to sub Uriah Hall.
Oh, you think so? First time being finished by submission.
But it's not like he hasn't been in position to be submitted a bunch of times.
Right.
Right. Like Gegard Mousasi chose to like ground and pound him way back when. And, you know, I guess he just hasn't fought a lot of guys. I'm looking at his record right now. He has not fought a lot of guys who would even try a submission, right?
Yeah.
Like Olawale Bangabosh, Christoph Jocko, Bevin Lewis, Anderson Silva. He's just not fighting a lot of dudes who'd shoot a double and take him down and submit him. Andre Muniz is that dude. So, I'm keeping an eye on a sub prop for sure.
Yeah, Muniz is my pick as well. So, all right, we will jump into the main prelims in one sec. First, let's move on to tell you about Sleeper. Sleeper is a fast-growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. The SGPN guys use it for theirs. It's a game-changing product like anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper, too, by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. And then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about Over Under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my imaginary buddies contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. So stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new Over Under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. And Dan's going to tell you how to make money right now.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you to take Travis Darnaud over on hits. Travis Darnaud on fire right now. Plus, he's playing the Phillies. and the Phillies suck. So, yeah, take the over on Travis Arnaud hits.
He is one of my catchers in, on one of my fantasy leagues, and I'm very happy I have him. He's having a very good year.
I was a little, I mean, like, if you're a Travis Darnot owner, and this is not a Travis Darnot podcast, but you might have been a little bit worried when Contreras was hitting all those dingers behind him. But apparently they got room for both of them. So, yep. ride that out.
There you go. So here's what you do. Take that advice. Go to your mobile phone. Join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. And when you're online doing that, make sure you use an IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN. To make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet, IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like 89 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All righty, moving on. Middleweights open up the main prelims. Brad Tavares versus Dricus Duplessis. We will tell you about Tavares first. He's 19-6, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. 14-6 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight. Before that, he lost 2 straight. So he's been 2-2 over his last 4. He's not fought, it's almost a year. He fought in July of last year. So he's been out of the cage for right around a year. Not quite. He went 3-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, made his pro MMA debut in 2005. He's got a positive strike differential in the UFC of 0.42. He's at plus 108. Duplessis, Still Knox is his nickname. He's 16-2 with 7 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. He's 2-0 in the UFC, both of them via knockout. He's won 4 straight fights, all via finish, obviously, because he's finished every one of his wins. He was the KSW champ. He was the UFC champ. He's fight down at welterweight. He's got 2 inches of reach on Tavares, 7 years younger. Striking stats in his favor. He's 1.6 times more active landing strikes. He's got a positive strike differential of plus 2.68 in the UFC. He also has grappling stats in his favor, minus 130. I'm going with Duplessis in this one. I love the number. I think he's just better everywhere than Tavares, especially striking, which is what he's going to obviously rely on here and put it on the veterans. So Duplessis is my pick, and I'm loving the minus 130.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that it is where it is, because at first I was like, is Duplessis hyped enough? Because he's had like almost a year in between each of his fights. By the way, I don't know if you have you seen the list of people who he has been slated to fight and didn't have to fight?
No, tell me.
Before he got Brad Tavares, listen to this group of 4 people he should have fought. Anthony Fluffy Hernandez. That's the worst of them. Is Anthony Hernandez, who is the one who just subbed Rodolfo Vieira. Chris Curtis, Andre Muniz, and Calvin Gastelum. Those are the 4 people he was slated to fight and have fallen through for one reason or another. So, like, crazy group of fights that that dude should have gotten. But, yeah, like, back to my point, like, I think his number is probably not higher because people are forgetting how damn good he looked against Trevin Giles or Marcus Perez because they're so spaced out. But like, yeah, like he's infinitely better striker than Tavares. It's also like, not like Tavares is like a real KO threat, or like he doesn't have like good enough wrestling that you're really worried about him. And he also has had a year off. Like, he hasn't been in the cage since he took that split decision over Omari Akhmedov. And like, he got knocked out by Edmund Shabazian. Like that dude doesn't have powerful hands. So like, yeah, I think Duplessis is just going to knock him silly, man.
Yep, there is a few lines that I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'll take that. Thank you very much. And this was one of them. So Duplessis is the pick. And if you want to see what he did to Trevin Giles, check out that article I just wrote, my UFC 276 predictions, because I have a tweet embedded in there that shows him what happened when he hit Trevin Giles with his right hand. So, all right, moving on. Welterweights, Jim Miller versus Donald Cerrone, the rematch 8 years in the making is happening. Let's tell you about Cowboy Cerrone first, 36-16 with 2 no contests. He's got 10 knockouts and 17 submissions on his resume. He's been knocked out 8 times, submitted once, 23-13 with 1 no contest in the UFC. However, he's gone 0-5-1 over his last 6. He's not fought since May of 2021. His last win was May of 2019. He's taking this on short notice. He was supposed to fight Joe Lozon a couple times recently, and they both fell through, so he's stepping into this fight. It is up a weight class it is up at welterweight. That is of note. Miller usually pretty much exclusively is at lightweight. Cerrone's kind of bounced between the two, but he was going to fight his last fight at lightweight. Now he's fighting this one up at welterweight. So something to keep a mind on or an eye on. Cerrone is 6-3 with 1 no contest in WEC. WEC never die. He failed a drug test there for what's that thing? Diuretic. That's what that thing's called. 2011 was his UFC debut. 2006 was his pro MMA debut. He's a Muay Thai champion. He went 1-0 as a pro boxer. He's 5 inches taller than Miller. He's got 2 inches of reach on him. He's 1.6, a lot of 1.6 times more active fighters on this fight card. He's 1.6 times more active landing strikes. However, he's got a negative 0.06 strike differential. So pretty much he gives what he receives pretty much on the feet. Plus 175 on him. Miller, A10 is his nickname, which I just discovered recently. He's 34-16 with 1 no contest, 6 knockouts, 18 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times. He's 23-15 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights. Before that, he lost 2 straight. He's also 3-3 over his last 6. His last 2 fights he's won via knockout. He's found that old man power, apparently. He used to fight, or normally fights at lightweight. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Yes. He's also a kickboxing champion. 2005 was his MMA debut. He's got also has a negative strike differential, but barely, minus 0.14. So pretty much even for him as well. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 215. Over to you.
Yeah. I'm going with Jim Miller. Obviously, like the thing is too, is like, I've seen a lot of people like describe this matchup as like 2 washed up veterans. So why not take the dog money or whatever? But like,
he's not washed up.
He's not right. Like, nope. And I would also say this too, like, it's not just like he got some wins against up and comers or new guys or like whatever. Like Jim Miller is fighting like young, good prospects and looking phenomenal doing so. Like, he looked good against Nicholas Mota. He looked good against Ghost Pepper Gonzalez. Like, he looked good against those guys. And I would say he didn't look awful against Joe Selecki before that. And Joe Selecki's not a bad loss. And I'll also just say this too. Like, if you look at the only people to beat him, you know, since like 2020, let's say since the pandemic started, the only people to beat Jim Miller in that time are wrestlers, are guys who are good in the wrestling department and can either take people down or stop them from taking. They can dictate where the fight takes place. Cowboy's not that. Cowboy is not that. Not then, not now, not ever has Cowboy been that. So, yeah, like I think Jim Miller just gets to pick where this fight goes. And I think he wins it just about anywhere he wants to, too. So, yeah, I'm going Jim Miller here.
Yeah, this is he was being positive about Miller, but you also could just say you're going to fade Cowboy Cerrone in every fight going forward also. So we got that side of it too. Miller's looked good. Cerrone has looked horrible. So, yeah, Cerrone did win their original fight 8 years ago, but things have changed since then. So Miller's pretty much the same fighter as he was 8 years ago, really.
Cerrone, I mean, except for with fucking hands, right?
Like, he's not good. Yeah, old man power, like I said.
And you also only mentioned like the Mota and Gonzalez fights because those are the only 2 that ended with knockout. But like his boxing looked better in the Selecki-Pichel fights. And even if you want to go back to like he fought Clay Guida in 2019, he wins that one by guillotine choke, or at least that's what you see when you like scroll down and look at his Wikipedia page or his Tapology page or whatever. But he knocked Clay Guida down with like a hard right hand, and then Guida like panic shot a double leg and got guillotined. So like even that one was like this close to being a TKO. So like he's had this power for like 3 or 4 years. It's not just like suddenly a couple of outliers. Like his boxing has looked real good.
So maybe not having Lyme disease helps. Possibly,
yeah,
right?
I mean, maybe. Do you ever get rid of Lyme disease? Isn't that one of the ones you just keep?
It can come back, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I think he's pretty good now at with it. But yeah, he was fighting through it for years there, it seems. So, yeah. So Jim Miller, always a favorite of mine, even though he said some dumb things on Joe Rogan. Who doesn't say dumb things on Joe Rogan, right? I'll still ride with Jim Miller. I saw Gina Carano was the latest on there. Like, oh, that's going to be an interesting show I'm not going to listen to. Those two together,
I would also just say this, and this is probably going to bum out some people who listen to us, but like I just don't listen to Joe Rogan because I don't have 4 hours to listen to a podcast that's not on the SGPN network.
There you go. Boom. We don't have 4 hour podcasts. We're concise here. We're only what, half an hour in? We're almost done this one. There you go. Boom. We got what, two more fights? Yeah. And we're going to disagree on one of them because I listened to the Top Turtle MMA podcast already earlier today or last night.
Can't wait.
Oh, Dan, it's this fight Dan's gonna yell at me about for it. Sounds like he's very aggro again. All right, Walter Waits, Ian, the future Gary versus Gabe Gifted Green. Oh boy, the Gifted versus the future. Gabriel Green, 11-3, 4 knockouts, 6 submissions, been knocked out twice. 2-1 in the UFC, won his last two fights, last one via TKO. He's a regional champ. He was 2-1 in Bellator. He's 1.4 times more active. He's got a negative strike differential in the UFC of minus 0.33. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 136. In the future, Gary, 9-0, 5 knockouts, 1 submission, 2-0 in the UFC. He was a Cage Warriors champion. 5 inches taller than Green, inch of reach, 4 years younger. Striking stats in his favor, positive strike differential of 1.5 strikes per minute, minus 165. Is it my turn? I did. Yeah, it's my turn. You can yell at me. I'm taking Ian Gary. Not that I think he's super amazing, but I think he's going to be the better striker here. And I'll be taking him in this fight. And not that he's really shabby at any aspect of the sport, but striking-wise, I think he's going to be ahead of Gabe Green here. And now Dan's going to tell you why he's going to take an underdog, because I can't remember what you said on your other podcast.
I mean, I think he's I think he's a better striker. I think Gabe Green? Yeah, I think Gabe Green's a better striker than Ian. Dude, he stood toe-to-toe with Daniel Rodriguez on 4 days' notice, up a weight class? Is that one up a weight class? I can't remember if that one's up a weight class. Now I'm looking like I'm trying to add too much to it. no, same weight class. But 4 days' notice, he fought Daniel Rodriguez and went toe-to-toe with him and looked good. He went the distance with D-Rod, which is not easy to do. And he did so like landing good leg kicks and stuff. And then since then, all he's done is like beat the piss out of Philip Rowe and knock out Yoan Linacy, who are both better opponents than Ian Gary's opponents, right? Like Ian Gary went in there and fought, I can't believe we're going to talk about him again, Jordan Williams.
We love him.
And do you remember Jordan Williams was tagging him at the beginning of that fight? Like Jordan Williams was like lighting him up early, and Jordan Williams is like a wrestler. Like that's what he is. And you know, what did he go 0-4 in the UFC or something like that? And then the next fight with Darian Weeks, like I didn't leave that fight being like Ian Gary's like God's gift to MMA, right? Like he went the distance with a guy who has 6 pro fights going into it. So like, look, I get the hype behind Gary because he's Irish and he's only 24 and the, you know, the sky's the limit or whatever. But like, I think Gabe Green is like in his prime now. I think he's faster. I think he's more diverse with his strikes. I think he makes less mistakes with his strikes too, because that's the thing with Gary, is that like Gary just like occasionally like gets tagged. And with somebody like Gabe Green, as Yoan Linacy found out, you know, a couple of months ago, you can't just make that mistake with him.
Who are your guests on Top Turtle this week?
Ozzy Diaz and Gabe Green.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Dan gets charmed by these people on his podcast, and they tell him how they've improved and they've done this and that, and then you pick them and then they lose.
He doesn't need to improve. He's been knocking people out for years.
I heard he knocked the piss out of someone.
Yeah, I mean, he knocked the piss out of Yoan Linacy, but he also knocked the piss out of Edmund Shabazian's little brother, who is on Contender Series. Big brother? Little brother. Big brother. Leon Shabazian, back in the regional circuit. So, like, he's a guy who's got big KO power and has big KO power for a long time. Whereas like Gary, like, yeah, I mean, like he knocked out Jordan Williams while he was backpedaling stupidly. But yeah, I like Gabe Green a lot here.
All right. We shall see. It's interesting when we're with different picks because usually it goes in my favor. So I'm just saying numbers don't lie, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've picked a bunch of dogs here too, so I'm in on all.
I have
those.
Picked some dogs, so I could be. In, have I picked dogs? No.
Oh no! Wait a second. You've picked all favorites so far.
I picked all favorites. Wait to the main card. No, I didn't take Jessica I. Sorry, I should have taken Jessica I. You're right.
Should take Jessica I.
All right. What's our main event in the prelims? It would be lightweights. Brad Riddell versus Jalen Turner. So we got Quake Riddell versus the Tarantula Turner. Wonder if we're going to differ here. Let's find out. Brad Riddell, 10-2 with 5 knockouts. He's got 1 knockout and 1 submission. Sorry, he's been knocked out once, submitted once, so he's been finished in all of his losses. 4-1 in the UFC, he got knocked out his last fight. He's fought at welterweight. He's a kick, was a cook, blah, blah, blah. Easy for me to say, a pro kickboxer. Striking stats in his favor. He's got a positive strike differential of 1.21, and he's at plus 112. On the boards, Tarantula Turner, 12-5, 9 knockouts, 3 submissions, finished all of his opponents. He's been knocked out 3 times. He's 5-2 in the UFC. He's won 4 straight fights, all via finish. He also used to fight at welterweight. He's 1-0 in the Contender Series, 2-0 in Bellator. He's 8 inches taller than Riddell. He's got half a foot of reach on him, 6 inches. He's 4 years younger than him. He's 1.4 times more active landing strikes. His positive strike differential is plus 2.17 per minute. Grappling stats also in his favor, minus 135. I don't think we're going to differ here. Go ahead.
It's your turn, isn't it?
Oh, okay, fine. I will take. I love Jalen Turner. He's looked fantastic of late. And he's Riddell's not going to win a striking battle with him, with a guy as big as he is. And he's also just as good a striker, possibly MMA striker, as Riddell, and he's a better grappler. So yeah, Turner is my pick, and I love the minus 135 line on him.
Yeah, I do too. And here's the other thing I'll say about Jalen Turner right now too, is that like Riddell is probably going to shoot a bunch of takedowns here for a couple
you
of
think
reasons.
So?
Yeah, I really do think so for a couple of reasons. Number one, do you know how many takedowns he's shot in his last 3 fights?
No, not off the top of my head, Dan.
He shot 21 takedowns in his last 3 fights.
Yeah, what's combined. The deal with that? He's the kickboxer.
I mean, like, he's got good wrestling, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The thing about fighting Jalen Turner is that, like you just mentioned, Jalen Turner has got 800 miles of reach on Brad Riddell. So, like, what does Riddell have to do? He's got to get in. And maybe he's going to try to sit in the pocket and trade there. But, like, Turner's going to get out of there. So he's going to have to shoot, and Turner has shown when people shoot on him, he makes them pay for it, right? So yep. I think Turner is going to turn this into, I mean, it's going to be a striking match that he succeeds at to start, and I think when it turns into a grappling match, he's going to make Riddell wish he didn't grapple with him.
Yeah, he's a good grappler too. Turner's pretty much good at everywhere.
I think people forgot what a good grappler he was until he got those couple of submissions, because like if you went back and if you've ever watched him in his like early days, like when he was an amateur, he was all submissions. Like every single fight was ending by submission. Then he found his hands and was knocking people out insanely fast and like flying up the rankings quicker. But like he's got like triangle choke finishes and like good subs. So like I mean, dude, I could definitely see him subbing Riddell here if Riddell makes a mistake. Like it wouldn't surprise me to see like, you know, a standing guillotine after he like sprawls out, or a Dar's choke or something like that.
There you go. Boom. We did it. 7 prelim fights all in the books. I told you there wasn't any duds on this card, though. All those fights are very interesting fights. For sure. Dan gave you some crazy dogs, as he always does. Sometimes they come through. So you never know. This could be the week they come through. So if you're looking for our main card picks, they're going to be in your, like I said, in your ears on Thursday when we drop that episode. Until then, you can obviously bet on all these picks we gave you. You can go into the SGPN Slack and talk to us in the fight channel there, or you can talk to us on Twitter if you want. The Twitter handle for the actual podcast is SGPN MMA. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He is at Gumby Vreeland. You can read all our stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I just posted all of my picks with some videos and whatnot for the fight. Dan is doing an article on prop bets for UFC 276, and we will be publishing from another writer. Dylan will be publishing his PFL 6 picks for this Friday. So lots of stuff over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And listen to Dan's other podcast, Top Turtle MMA, where he's nicer to his co-hosts than he is here. And he interviews, and he interviews fighters, right?
That's just because my other co-host just tells me he agrees with every single piece of my analysis.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's a sheep. He's a yes man. So, all right. Anything else?
You good? No, I think we got it all.
All right. You can take us home. Tell him when we're going to talk to him next.
I am Daniel Gubby Vreeland. He is the future Jeff Fox, and we will catch you tomorrow.